Blog Talk Radio. Yes, Lord.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
troubles don't last always. That means that once we trust in him, it doesn't matter. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. It's coming in the morning. And the morning is any time that we seek him. When we seek him, we're going to find joy because he's joy.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for those that are even coming on the line right now and for those that are listening by tablet, computer, cell phone, however they're listening. God, we pray for this word as it go forth over the airways to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, that it will do exactly what you intended to do this day. Lord, that this word will heal hearts. Oh, God, it will strengthen the spirit man. And God, it will set the captives free this day, Lord. Father, we ask you to cover Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop Washington as they go out seeking for a place for their sons. We ask, Father, that you give them supernatural favor, oh God. Lord, that you make crooked places straight for them, oh God. And Father, as you do it, Lord, we'll continue to give you praise, honor, and glory. Almighty God, we thank you for those that in Africa and India that are suffering. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us, oh God, that we could be a blessing to them that are less fortunate. Lord, we ask, oh God, even as the pastor sent me a message this morning from India and told me, he says, thanks, Apostle, for blessing us. We are so grateful for you all that you love us so much that you help us. And I said to him, to God be all the glory, because it's not me, it's not us, it's God that's doing it. It's God that's making a way, because he is the way. And they were so grateful. The pastor told me, he says, we are able to buy medicine. He says, I'm distributing the medicine to the different churches and different congregational members. I said, Lord, to God be glory. You know, we got to understand that it's God has called us into the vineyard. In the vineyard is not a place of stagnation. In the vineyard is not a place that you just sit around and eat cream of wheat and drink corn liquor and stuff like that. You know, no, we don't sit around. The vineyard is a place that we go to work. We go to work for the kingdom, and we do kingdom work. And it's not just sitting up on the altar and sitting with the other pastors and the other ministers and looking cute and think that we have it all together. In the vineyard is a place that you take up your tools and you go to work. You work for the kingdom. And kingdom work means that you have to go out and you have to sow seeds into the hearts of men and women. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's not just sowing the word of God, but you have to sow natural stuff. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's clothes, sometimes it's food. It's whatever the Lord allow you to be able to sow into their hearts that they might see him. You know, sometimes when you give a person a cup of coffee or a glass of milk and a sandwich, it could be a peanut butter sandwich. You say, well, it don't look too good. It don't have no meat between them. But that peanut butter and jelly sandwich may be more seem to him like a steak sandwich. Hallelujah.
Or amen.
Like a steak sandwich, because they haven't had anything to eat in days. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
But we take those little things for granted. What we take for granted, it's a miracle to someone else. I was in the
Amen.
And I saw a man in the trench, in the gutter, where the manhole, big water hole was coming down, you know, and the water coming from every dirty water, and the man was laying in the gutter. You can call it whatever you want to say, but they call it the gutter or the trench. And he was in there in a big old hole taking a bath in nasty water. And I couldn't believe it. And then when I went through the community, I saw where they dumped the trash, you know, for the community, for the poor people trash, the top of the white people trash, the rich people. And the little kids, that they were orphans, and they were in the trash, digging through the trash. And the same trash for seagulls, you know, them birds that come from, they can fly from miles and miles and miles to find trash. They're seagulls. They're inland. And they eat, and they're just like ducks. When they eat, they defecate at the same time. They eat and they go to the bathroom. So they're defecating all over that trash. And the kids were picking up the little ends of bread, piece of fish, a piece of meat, whatever that looked like can eat, and they were eating. And I started to cry. I started to weep. And the other apostle me said, why are you crying? See, they were used to that. I never seen that before. I live in America. I see people going in trash cans and eating out of trash cans. But I've never seen little kids 6 and 7 years and 5 years going into the dumpster. On the dumpster, you know, the trash is all over the ground, heaps of trash, and searching too for something to eat. And that's when I took up this mantle. So whenever I get a little bit, I sow into their lives. But today we're going to talk about void of love. Not going to preach too long because I want us to pray some today. I want us to pray, everybody, whoever have an opportunity and feel led to pray, just go ahead and pray. I'm not going to preach too long today, but the Lord gave me this word to this last night, and it said void of love. And Father, we thank you and praise you, God. I ask you to touch my ears, my eyes, and my lips of clear. Father, I decrease right now that you might increase. Father, let there be none of me, but all of you. And Father, if I speak a word that did not come from you, from heaven, by your spirit or through these 66 books, Lord, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. My only objective, O God, is to glorify your name, to edify your body, and to terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, when the Lord gave me this word, it was just a simple word, very simple word the Lord dropped in my heart. And he said, void of love. And you might say, well, people might say, well, how can it be void of love? No, he says void of love. And then the Lord began to say to me, he said, look at the world. And as you look at the world, you'll see all the killing and all the maiming, you know, people cutting people up and they taking out people's organs and the organs trafficking and all this stuff and all the sex trafficking. He began to explain this to me. He says, they're void of love. He said, they're void of love because they have not been taught to love. See, he says that most of these people that are doing these things have not been taught to love. He said they have not been taught about me. I said, wow. He said, and I was thinking to myself, how can you be in a world that's created by love, with love, and not be taught of love? See, yes. He said, yes, son. See, yes, my son. They have not been taught of me. They grew up, and some of these folk have been able to go to nice schools, colleges, because they come out of well-to-do families, but they have not been taught of love, and what they was thinking is just do whatever feels good to them. The Bible says all is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So they operate in this realm that I can do what feels good to me, and long as it feels good to me, it doesn't matter who it hurts. So it's not that they're hating people, it's just that they're void of love, you know. And when you're void of love, you'll do whatever seems right to you. So the Lord begins to show me this, and then he take me to the book of Jeremiah, and he gave me two verses here in the book of Jeremiah, but we can read a little bit more than that. But he sends me to Jeremiah, and he says verse 9 and 10 in Jeremiah chapter 17. This is the scripture he gave me last night. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I'm reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. Let me read it to you again so you can really hear what this word is saying. God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and he said in chapter 17, verse 9, he said, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? In another book, another version of the Bible, he said that only God can heal the heart. So if the people... If the world is not being taught of the love of God, what is going to happen? They're living in a deceitful mindset because they're allowing now Satan to deceive them and cause them to do things that normally they would not do if they had the love of Christ manifested in their life. Remember, God said, I give to every man a measure of faith. Remember, he said that back in the book of Matthew. He said, I give to every man a measure of faith. And he said that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's over there in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You will see that God is saying that in order for us to develop the love that he has placed in us, love and faith go hand in hand. So in order for us to develop the love or the faith that he's put in us, we have to seek him. He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. But what happened is that the world, the deceiver, oh my God, let me turn this fan on. My wife just turned this fan off. She hot. She just come with the shower. She give the dog a bath, and she just ran and took a shower after giving the dog a bath. Let me turn this fan off. It's making too much noise. But see, once you get to study to hear and be fed the truth about God, your heart becomes a fertile ground to receive more and more of God, and then you begin to exhibit, oh my God, you begin to exhibit the characteristics of God. Because the Bible said God is love. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. God is love.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible said, there that come to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. So we have to seek him daily. Diligently means that you're doing it continuously. You're going after him over, on and on and on. We're not giving up because somebody died. We're not giving up because the cat died or the dog died. My wife was just telling me that one of her fellow workers, that she works 2 days a week when she gets a call. My wife, she's really retired. So 2 days a week she'll go if she gets. Sometimes they call her. She got a job for her. And later in the day, they call up. I said, well, we don't need you tomorrow. I said, well, don't worry about it. We're not going to break a hammer because of that. But a lady called in and said, well, she got to go and do a few hours because this lady called in and said she couldn't come to work. She couldn't come to work because her dog died. I said, my God. I said, the dog died. So she said, the dog is an old dog. It's not like the dog was a little puppy that she was just bought the puppy. The dog, she had about 14 years. The dog just died. You know, the dog was all gray hair, can't see, can't, you know, limping around, and the dog died. Had a heart attack and died. He can't go to work. But, you know, focus, spend more time and loving on these dogs and these cats and the birds and all this stuff than they spend in loving human beings, mankind.
Amen.
Because, right, because the heart, thank you, prophetess, because the heart are deceitful. But the only one can heal the heart is God.
Yes,
the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. So where do we have to go if we avoid, according to what the subject matter that God gave me on last night, if we avoid being here empty, it's not manifesting. You know, the love is still there, but it's not manifesting, so it's just like empty, like if it's though our heart is empty of love, void of love. So if we are void of love, our love is not manifesting in our life. In our life, in order for us to get this love to come alive, what do we have to do? The first thing we need to do is repent and say, Lord, something is not working right in me. We have to get a mindset of repentance.
Amen.
Something is wrong with me. But what we find, thank you, Providence, what we find today that most people don't want to repent. They think they got it together. Let the devil tell them, oh, you don't need no repentance. You got it together. You don't have to talk to God about your life. The devil tell them that, oh no, you're doing fine. You don't need to study your Bible. You don't need to get saved. You don't need to turn your life over to God. You're doing fine. You're good. You're driving a BMW. You got a Lexus. You got a Mercedes Benz. You got a Cadillac. You're doing fine. You got a good job. You have the best clothes. You can go to the best supermarket, buy the best food. You can go to the mall and buy the best of any jewelry that you need. The devil told them they got it together because they got stuff. But I got news for you. I got news for the church of men, not God, not God's church. The church of men. Listen, I say that a lot of people say, why you always say that? Because a lot of these churches that you see today, buildings, they don't, God's not even there. He's not even
Amen.
There because they're not allowing God, they're not allowing the Spirit to manifest. You understand what I'm saying? He's not there. They're not allowing him to manifest because the pastor, the bishop, the apostle has been to school, to ministry school, got a doctorate degree, a PhD, a MA, a BA, some type of degree, and they believe that they have done this thing on their own.
My Lord.
They believe that they have got into the level or the dimension or the realm that they are in walking by their own. So they don't even give God any glory. And they don't even talk to you if you don't call them doctor, apostle, bishop, this thing. So you can't even get to the name that their mother gave them. They want you to call
now.
Them doctor. You understand what I'm saying? So they don't exhibit the love of Christ. It's not about titles. It's not even about the gift. It's about the giver.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about titles. Not about the gift. It's about the giver. The giver is Jesus Christ or Yeshua, Yahweh. It's about him because he's the one that went to the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God. Which gives us access. It gives us his going to the cross, give us access to the gifts or the talent. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If he didn't go to the cross and lay down his life, we would not have access to the gifts or the talents. He had to lay down his life. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down.
Amen.
Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he went there to pray. Because he knew his assignment was coming. Listen, oh my God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. He knew that his assignment was coming to fruition. Listen to me. I've got a lot of scriptures today. I'm moving by strictly by the Spirit. Don't have a lot of scriptures. No. He knew that his assignment was coming to fruition. In other words, he knew that his assignment had to be fulfilled. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he is there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked the Father to take the cup. He said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. In other words, don't let me go to the cross. Don't let me die. He is God in the flesh, so he can feel what you feel. He can feel what we feel, but he's not sinning. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
He is God in the flesh, just like you and I have blood. Our blood flowing through his veins. He has to breathe to live because he is God in the flesh. You hear what I'm saying? He is God in the flesh. He needs the air to breathe. He needs the blood to flow through his veins, to go to his brain, to go to his lungs, so he gets his order. He's God in the flesh. But he's without sin. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. He got Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him. I'm not looking in the Bible. All this is flowing out of my spirit. Okay? He's saying to them, look, I'm stay right here, over here while I go in prayer. He's going to talk to the Father. The Father is Jesus. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is the Son. Hallelujah. You want to hear
me? Amen. Hallelujah.
So he's going to talk to the Father because he is the Father in the Son form, which came out of the bosom of the Father. That's why he said, when I leave, I'm going back to the Father. Where are you going back? Into the bosom of the Father. That's why people can't understand. How can there be three gods in one? How can there be three gods in one? He's going back into the bosom where he came back out. He came out of in the garden. And in the beginning, he said, Father, he said, let us make man in our own image. He was speaking to himself. Because he can separate himself. He is so powerful. He can separate himself and become spirit. He can separate himself and become Father. He can separate himself and become Son anytime he wants because he's God.
Amen.
He's the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God. He's the omnipresent God.
Yes,
he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. You
yes,
hear me this
yes,
morning.
Yes, yes.
But in the garden, he began to talk to the Father. And he said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me.
Mm-hmm.
In the man's form, he didn't want to go to the cross. Just like we. We can preach, teach, and sing and dance. But most of us say, if you hear, you're going to die for Christ. You say, I don't want to die. Lord, I want to live forever, but I don't want to die. Lord, I don't want to die. That's your mind side. But if you get in the spirit and truly be in the spirit of God, not your spirit, in God's spirit, if we tap into the spirit of God and the time comes for us to be a sacrifice for the kingdom, we'll say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm not gonna denounce my Savior. If you're gonna take my life, take it. Because I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you're gonna take my life, go ahead and take it. I'm not gonna denounce him because you say, well, you're gonna buy me a new house or you're gonna buy me a new car, you're gonna do all this stuff for me. No.
Baby,
I'm
don't
not
put nothing in that tower, sir.
I have to mute you for a minute. Sister Nana, and I got to mute you for a minute because your phone and you're talking. Anyway, the Bible says he has sweat like blood, like drops of blood. Can you imagine how sorrowful he was? But he tells the Father in the same breath of speech, he saw the Father, nevertheless, not my will. See, my will in the flesh, that's what he's saying. My will in the flesh is not to go on the cross and die for humanity. But my will in the spirit, that's the spirit of the Father, the will of the Father, and breaking this thing down for y'all this morning. And the will of the flesh is not, he don't want to go to the cross, that's the will of the flesh. But the will of the spirit is the Father. He said, but not my will, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father. Let your will be done. That's the love that I'm talking about, that the world is void of. That's the topic today, void of love. Empty of love. How can a child today that be nursed, been in the belly of a mother for 9 months, she carry her son, her daughter for 9 months, and that same son or daughter would turn around and kill his mother or father. Don't even put the father in it. Kill the mother. Because the father always is the seed. That the mother carried that child for 9 months, and then she probably nursed that child for 2 or 3 months. Nursed her on her breast. The Bible called it pops. On her breast for 3 months. And then as the child grows, he becomes so wicked, void of love, that he would take his mother's life. A little girl killed her mother because her mother took her cell phone from her. The very cell phone that her mother bought for her. And because she was acting stupid, the mother said, I'm going to put you, grung you from that cell phone. Now, give me that cell phone. Lock the cell phone. She killed her mother. Because she wanted her cell phone. Void of love. We need to teach the children to come back to Christ. Bring them back. Begin to show them who Christ is and what he done at Calvary. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Jesus.
So he said here in the book of Jeremiah, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. It doesn't matter what you look at. You may look at cars, look at the donkey, look at the horse, look at the cow, look at the cat, look at the eagle, any kind of bird, the owl. I don't care what you say. Heart, the Bible. God said the heart of man is the most deceitful of all things.
Man.
And then he said, and it's desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. Why? Because the heart is very easy to be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to be deceived. Your heart fault will walk for you, talk for you, and stab you on your back.
Amen.
I'm sure some of you are, you'll experience some people with you like that. Come and eat your food. Come to your house, eat your food, drink your lemonade. Hallelujah. They'll come and drink your Kool-Aid. Drink your root beer. You're serving up your coke. They come and drink all your stuff, and then they will go behind your back and talk about you. Talk about how your house is, how your furniture is, how your dishes in the sink. She don't wash the dishes regular. All this kind of stuff. They're going to talk and make you look bad. Same people that you said.
Yes.
Some people that you give your last dollar to will cut you up. Because in their heart is void of love. They do not sense. They can't really see what you have done for them. How many people talk bad about God? The God that sacrificed his life on Calvary, and they talk bad about him. How many people do? He says, the only one that can fix the heart is God. He said, but I, the Lord, searcheth all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their true reward according to what their actions deserve. Do you hear what God says? God says he searches the hearts of all men. All hearts he searches. He said, and I examine the secret motives. Man,
my Lord,
can't see the motives. You know, they might come and say, well, Apostle, I'm going to take you to all you can eat. I'll take you to Red Lobster or the Outback Steakhouse. They know what you like. The devil know exactly what you like, what I like, what we like. I'm going to put some new tires on your car because I see your car tires look wearing out. Oh, well, you know, prophetess, you haven't had a new car in 7 years, so I'm going to buy you a new car. And you get all chummy with you, and next thing you know, your life is at stake. God says, because you can't see their heart, you think their motives are good. And unless they're walking and talking and spending time with God, you have to stand on alert. You've got to stay on alert.
Yes.
You just, if they're not spending time with God, fasting and praying, and spreading the word of God, and fellowship with brothers and sisters, you have to stay on alert, stay on alert. The first thing I ask God to people that come close to me is the Lord, let me see my sister heart. Let me see my brother heart.
My Lord.
Let me see, Lord, if they are real.
Because
the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Anybody can say anything. It sounds good, but it will still kill you. It'll still kill you. You understand what I'm saying? So I pray, God, let me see. You know, when I first met Apostle Washington on, she was the pastor on the phone. You know, she was called to be a pastor. I ordained a pastor. And I heard her spirit. I said, God, this woman, I was waiting for to pick up my granddaughter. My granddaughter was in high school then. She's in college now. Very, very, very smart girl. And I'm talking to Linda Washington at the time. And I said, girl, lady, I'm going to ordain you the pastor. She said, she started weeping. I said, yeah, because the Lord just told me that. I heard her spirit. And next thing the Lord
thank
said,
Lord,
raise her up higher to apostle. Because she's going to talk to many people. She's going to draw many people to the kingdom.
God, know me
to hear her spirit. And then the same person, her cousin, her niece or somebody, that introduced her to me, come and tell her and bring, don't know me like that. She knew me is from Facebook. But then she goes to Apostle Linda and say, you got to watch that man. I don't know if Pastor Linda got $2 or $3 because I don't ask her about her money. I've never called her up and said, Pastor, I need $1, $2, $3. Never. Anything that she's so into in the kingdom, she do it all for what God put in her heart. She can't tell nobody.
Amen.
And I might say, well, I said like yesterday I was laying in the bed and I was praying for India, praying for the pastor in India. And while I was on the line, he called me for prayer because so many pastors are dying. And I prayed for him. While I was praying for him, the Lord says, you need to send him some money. I got a couple of dollars from a job I'm doing. Just a couple, not a lot. And I told him right there on the phone, I said, look, I'm going to send you some money. So when we finish talking, I'm going to send you some money. And you can go to Western Union and pick it up. As soon as we got off the phone, I sent him. He just this morning, he told me, because they can't go around as freely as we can because they got the pandemic is so terrible now. It's worse than it was here. I mean, people are just dropping down like flies. I mean, just dropping down because they can't get the vaccine. They can't get any kind of medication. They can't go and buy no zinc. They can't go buy no vitamin D or vitamin C, you know, like, because they don't have the funds. You got pastors picking up cans and bottles to sell to get a food for the table, on the table for the kids and the family. Pastors doing this.
Jesus.
So I told him, I said, man, I'm going to save some money. And right there, I got off the phone. I said, because hey, I don't care if somebody give me money or don't give me money. If I send money, I said, we send. I said, we're going to send you some money. So I sent him some money. I said, now I need to get you to go to the drugstore, wherever you are, and buy you some zinc and buy you some vitamin D. And I told him what grade of vitamin D to use. And this morning, he was so happy. We retrieved the money. He said, we retrieved the money in and I'm buying the medicines to distribute to the churches and to the church members. I said, God. He said, we thank you so much. So I said, to God be God Almighty be all the glory. It's not about me or us. It's about him. We cannot get the funds to send to India or Africa without God's help. God is who makes the way for us. A lot of times we think because we got the skill to go do the job. Who gave you the skill? Who gave you the skill for you to be a painter or a carpenter or electrician or plumber or air conditioning tech? Who gave you the skill to be a nurse or a doctor? We forget that. Now, I went to school for 4 years and I become a doctor 7 years or whatever. How long it takes to be a doctor? No, but who wake you up in the morning? Maybe you don't know Christ, but the Spirit is still waking you up. Because he said, all things are mine. You may not have a relationship with him, but he's still waking you up. He's not the alarm clock.
Amen.
Give him the glory. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? He's talking about himself. Who really knows how bad? He said, I know how. I'm the only one. I tell you, another version of the Bible says, he's the only one that can fix the heart of a man. And then he says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts, not some hearts. Don't think because that we're going to church and we on Block Talk Radio, we reading the Bible and studying the Bible every day that he's not looking at our hearts, he's searching our hearts too. Matter of fact, we're the ones that are searching the heart more because we know of him. We know of him. We study his word. He's looking at us and saying if we really activate our word, his word in our life. Because that's where the ministry is. The ministry is not in the church building. It's not in Block Talk Radio. The ministry is in our life. When we walk out of, get off of Block Talk Radio, when we leave the church building, do we still have the love of Christ in us? Are we exhibiting the love of God? Because that's the ministry. We preach. We sing. We dance. We play the drums. We play the organ. We play the saxophone. You got some pastor playing the saxophone, and they can preach and play the saxophone, the trombone, all this stuff, because they're multi-talented. But then when it comes to loving their neighbors and loving the unlovable, it's hard. But they say they love Christ. That's the ministry right there. Jesus says,
Amen.
I am the Lord. That's what Jesus says. Show the prophet. He said, I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. In other words, he's looking and he can see why are you doing this? Why are you on Blog Talk Radio since 2010? Why are you here? The Lord looks and says, he looks and he says, son, I'm pleased that you are turning on Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. Because I know
Jesus.
That your intention is to win souls, to lead souls to the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
You're not doing it because you're getting a paycheck every week. You're not doing it because you're getting a paycheck once a month. Matter of fact, you're doing it because I put you there.
Yes, Lord.
And you have the assignment from me. So he says, and he sees my motives. Some folks are only doing it because they tell you, I watch them on Facebook, they got all these lines. They give you all of it. They got PayPal. They got Zelle. They got Cash App. They got all of these things. You know how I get Cash App? Or even got Zelle? Because somebody called me and said, well, look, Pastor, I want to save some money to help Africa. But I ain't got this thing or that thing. So I got, they don't have the Congress question, but I can go to Walmart and I can send it to Walmart, or to say, I can send it to Cash App. I had to figure out, never did this stuff before, Providence. I had to figure out to download an app for Cash App. Then I had to download an app for Zelle. Because it wasn't my objective. But the person said, this is what I need to do in order for me to. I said, because they couldn't say, well, I'm going to do this. I'll do it. They had a checking account that they could send me something. Like that. But they did it. And that's how I got the stuff. And I don't put that stuff on Facebook. And up on Facebook, but send money to this center. Well, a couple of months last year, I did it a couple of months because we was in really dead straight to get money for Africa. We had family that was on the street. We had families that were on the street, living on the street, little baby. You know, we had families, they were babies, I mean, newborn babies on the streets. And I knew the families because I saw them when I was there. They didn't have the baby at the time, but the baby was in a position. And they were sleeping on the street. What? And then when the husband didn't have enough money to put the wife and all the money in the hotel room, so he had to sleep outside on a bench. And we put him back in a place. We put him back from Blog Talk Family. I'm boasting on the Jesus that I'm talking about. Not us per se, but the Jesus that gave us the ministry to watch over, because it's his ministry. And he said, I examine the secret motives. I give all people their due reward. God's rewarding us with long life and good health. Hear what he says. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Do your actions deserve good health? Do your actions deserve prosperity? Look at yourself, examine. That's what I do. I don't look at Prophetess Millie.
No.
She's a woman of God. I know that. I don't look at Pastor Washington.
Yes.
That's Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington. I don't look at that. They're people of God.
Amen.
I look at myself.
Amen. Yes,
I don't look at nobody. I don't care how good the person preach or teach or how big their policies are, what they're driving or how much jets they got. I don't look at that stuff. I look at
my
me.
Lord.
My
heart. Right.
Am I in right with God, in line with God? This is what Jesus says. He said, look. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is talking about love. 2 Corinthians, we just come out of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and verse 10. But if you want to study that, study it from verse 1 to 10. And that will show you the whole thing of Christ talking to Jeremiah and what he gives Jeremiah and telling Jeremiah about the people, talking about the church. And he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of love, the ministry of compassion. As we have received mercy, listen what he's saying. Faint not, don't give up. Don't get tired because the folk don't look like you, don't look like us. They're not getting it fast enough. I've been ministering to her, I've been talking to her for 3 months, and it don't look like she's going to ever get this thing. No. The Bible tells you don't faint. Don't give up. Continue to pray for them. Continue to instruct them of the love of Christ. Christ, the Bible said that Christ is long-suffering. He's patient. So we have to be long-suffering, and we have to be patient. Long-suffering just means that we will go through a lot. We'll go through a lot. We're not giving up. The soul worth more than all the gold and all the diamonds of Africa, all the oil of Syria and Egypt and Iraq and Iran. One soul worth more than that to heaven. And God said, don't faint. Don't faint. Faint not. Don't give up on the soul because the soul is acting crazy. Continue the prayer. I'll make a way where it seems to be no way. God said, I'll do that. He said, but have renounced, this is what you do. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. No longer, because we got the love of Christ in us now. So we cannot be dishonest. We can't use no con game on nobody. If they don't want to give you, so be it. So be it. We can't do it. Why? Right? Because we have denounced those things. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been cleansed from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, from the inside of our body to the outside. Our heart has been renewed. We don't have the same old heart anymore. We don't have the same old heart anymore. So God has cleansed our hearts and cleansed our minds. We have a renewed mind. We have been transformed, and we're being transformed every day. The more we study, the more he shows us to work on. So, he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. We're not tricky. The way we used to use the different stuff, slang and talk and all stuff to get stuff from before we were saved. We don't do that stuff anymore. Jesus. We don't have to do it anymore because God supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. So we don't have to run no kind, any tricks or trickery or con games on anyone to get stuff. We wait on the law that I think it was probably the minister I word last week. We wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord for everything that we need, everything we're going to do. We wait on Him. David said, "Wait," I said, "Wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't think." And it says, "Nor having the word of God deceitfully." See, a lot of people use the word of God in a deceitful manner. They use it to con the people. They use it in a deceitful manner, not the truth. Instead of speaking the whole gospel, Ezekiel said you got to eat the whole roll. Eat the whole roll. They'll give you half a roll, a piece of roll, and they'll put something on the other end. Instead of putting some peanut butter jelly, they'll put something else on the other end that tastes sweeter than that. They want to rope you in. And you turn out, they don't want to tell you about that you got to live holy. They're like, keep on coming the way you are. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're all right with God because you pay your tithes. You're giving your offering. You're all right with God. No. Paying your tithes and giving offering is not going to get you into heaven. Holiness is living holy. Because without holiness, man, boy or girl will see God. And they said, no, you're living a promiscuous lifestyle. You're living double standards. And they tell them, it's okay, just keep coming. Because they know you got your own business. You're making good money. And you're giving good sex. So keep coming. But they're not going to talk against sin. Because if they talk against sin, there's trigger that you're going to leave. You're not coming back to church. And most folk are not going to come back. They're not going to come back. If you talk about the sin that they love so much. You tell them, they say, well, look, you cannot be living. You say you got some lesbian up in your church, up in the church building, and you say, but you know you can't be sleeping around with other women. And you can't, and then you got the man, you tell the man, but you can't be sleeping around with men. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You can't, stop preaching like that and say, I'm not coming back to that church because he's a homophobic. No, I'm not a homophobic. I love Jesus. And I love all that God created. I love his creation. Jesus. And if you love God's creation, you're going to have to speak the truth. You're going to have to speak the truth in love. He says, listen what he says. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Hear what he's saying? But by manifesting, see the truth. The truth of God's word is love. That's what the gospel is based on love, L-O-V-E. And love is not just what love says. Love is what love does. And God proves his love for the world. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if I love you, I have to show you that I love you. Not just tell you I love you. When you're not feeling good, when you're feeling good, I have to check upon you. I may not call Apostle Watson as often as we used to call, but I make sure I text them, send them an email or something, and check on them. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How's your healing? I am concerned about how their body's doing. That's love, L-O-V-E. But if I can go for years and years and years and don't call you and check on you, I ain't really love you.
That's right now.
I really love you.
That's
it's just a figment of my imagination. God set the example. He set the example. Now I got a thing that I want. I'm going to ask. Okay, honey. Be careful. Be safe. I was working on sermon last night, but I asked Bishop Watson if he would, because he got plenty of time. On a sermon to preach for Father's Day. You know, then I'm going to do a series. I'm going to do a series about fathers. I'm going to do a series after, you know, a little later down after he does if he preached for Father's Day. If he doesn't preach for Father's Day, then I'll start the series then. But we want to talk about modeling the perfected Father. And that means modeling Jesus. He is the Father. And we, as fathers, need to model him. We need to model him.
Lord.
If he is the head of the church, We have to follow him, his leading. But what happens is we find that a lot of leaders in the church today are not following the leading of Christ.
Hallelujah.
They think that they're the leader. You're on the leader. You're not the leader. You're on the leader. That's why anybody that was here before you all came on here, Blog Talk Radio, can tell you that from 2010, I was saying the same thing I'm saying today, the same exact thing, that this is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. I'm just a watchman. And everybody that come on here, you're a watchman. You're a watch person. What are you watching for? You're watching for the lost souls. That's what you're watching for. Every one of us a watchman. But folk coming and say, oh, this is my church, this is my church, this is my congregation, these are my people. No. Where do you went to the cross? Ask yourself, when did you went to the cross? When did they pierce you? Let me see your name first, like Thomas, like Doran Thomas said to Jesus. Unless I see your name first. In the sight, hole in your sight, I ain't gonna believe. And Jesus said, look at my hand. Look at my side, look at my feet. He said, because you see, you believe. Blessed are those that don't see, but yet believe. Jesus told him that. Because you see, you believe. But blessed are those that do not see and yet believe. These folks believe that the church belongs to them. No, it belongs to Jesus. Yes, you are.
Amen.
He the one that was pierced. He the one that was crowned. You see those tongs are almost 2.5 inches long. The tongs on the crown on his head was almost 2 inches, 2.5 inches long. And the Bible said they pierced his brow. They pierced his brow. And the blood came streaming down his face, all in his eyes. Then we get up one day, we went to school, to seminary, and we got a couple of diplomas on the wall saying that you're a doctorate degree. You have received a license of ministry.
No.
So now your church is yours. Somebody tried to stick you with a needle, you was crying out. Oh, don't stick me with a needle. Can't even get a vaccine till you stick needles. And you want to claim the church where you haven't been crowned with thorns. You hear me? You want to claim the church when you haven't been crowned with thorns. Can't take a vaccine needle. The person is fired with a big old spear. The centurion stand on the ground and press the spear up his side. War, blood and water come out. The church belongs to Jesus. We are just watch people. Watchmen. He said, no. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them to them that are lost. God has called us to declare the gospel, the love. Gospel is love, compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness. All that's the gospel. We want to have the gospel, but we don't have no forgiveness. We want to preach the gospel, teach the gospel, but we have no mercy. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody, as soon as somebody don't act the way we want them to act, don't come to my church. I don't want you at my church. You know the angels be sitting up there just shaking their head. Shaking their head. Bishop, that pastor says, I don't want you at my church because you don't act right. You don't look right. And the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that he searched the heart. He searched the heart and see the deceitful motives in the heart. That's what he says in the book of Jeremiah. So even though the bishop up there on that pulpit is talking and shouting and jumping and rolling on the ground, God is looking at his heart. God knows that there's deceitful motives. They're not concerned about your soul salvation. Because if they did, they would not know that you were still drinking all of that corn liquor and smoking all that ganja. And don't bring you in the office and the son, daughter, I need to talk to you. Because if you can't stop, you're going to head to hell. If they really care about your life, about your soul. But see, I know about that. I know this. I know that this old filthy body must die. Because it cannot enter into heaven. It came out the dirt, and it got to go back to the dirt. But what I'm concerned about is my soul. I'm concerned about everyone connected to me soul. So if I speak, I don't care, it's because I care so much. You might think I don't care because of where I am. I am a general in God's army. I have no fear. No, sir, I am a general in God's army.
Yes.
I carry the sword of life. This is the Bible. It's inside my belly. God is saying that we got to get so much in love with him that we will love others.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say you love Christ but you don't love your brother and sister? How you say,
amen,
I love him, I go to church with him, Pastor. I sit in the church with him. But do you love him enough to tell him about sin that's taking him to hell right from the church building? No, I can't talk to her about that. I know she's a lesbian. I know she's a crook. I know she's selling them dope in the street from the church, but I can't tell her nothing. Because she pay a good tithe, she write good checks. And then what God said, let's go back to Jeremiah. My God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Jeremiah. I hear that one scripture. Listen what God says. He says, oh my God, you got to get this. You got to get this verse. You got to get it. God is speaking to me through this. He said, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. Jeremiah chapter 17 and 10. Think God is not looking at us because we preach every day? That's why we got to keep in line with God's word. God's word has to penetrate our hearts, mind, body, and soul. He said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil don't want you to see the truth. The devil does not want us to walk in the truth. The Bible said that he is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How can you worship him? So I worship him in the spirit. Where's the truth? I'm telling a little bit of lie. I compromise the truth. And now I like to tell a little white lie now and then. Well, you're not really worshiping him. Because you can't only worship him in spirit. Neither can you only worship him in truth. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth. They both got to be together. The spirit got to line up with the truth, and the truth got to line up with the spirit. So when your spirit gets connected to him, it's got to be connected with the truth, the word of God. The word of God is the truth. That's why when we pray for people, we always pull in scriptures, because it's the scriptures that would exhibit the healing power of God. What did the centurion tell in Luke 11? 17, I think. He told him, he says, you know how to come to the house, Lord. In other words, he was telling Jesus, I know who you are. He told his servant, go down and tell Jesus, I got one of my servants that's very dear to me dying. And the people told Jesus, he said, you know what? He's a good man. He built us a synagogue. He's already done so much for the Jewish people. He said, and he's worthy of what he's asking, Jesus. But when heard Jesus coming down the road, he sent another message to Jesus. Jesus, Rabbi, you don't need to come to my house. I'm not worried that you should come to my house. Brother, I'm not worried that you should come to me. He said, but send the word. Send the word. What did Jesus do?
Yes.
Send the word and the spirit. The word has the spirit on it. And send the word. Yes. And he said, okay, Jesus, send the word. And tell him, look, his servant shall be well. And when they come and told him, he said, what time do you talk to Jesus? When he got the word, the same word that Jesus sent, the servant was healed at that same time. At the same time, why? Because Jesus sent the spirit and the word. The truth and the spirit. The spirit and the word. They're all one. See, you can't have
Amen.
The word without the spirit. If you have the word without the spirit, you can't do no mighty works. That's why you see a lot of preachers have the word. Oh, they got the word. They can go from Genesis to Revelation and don't have to open the book. Some of them like that. Share with the word. I was in Africa with this little man, little guy. He went on a 4 feet something, a little guy. And I'll tell you something. His jacket looks so smaller. I said, my God, is he really a man or here, boy? And the pastor told him, said, oh, he's a man. He's a man of God. I tell you. And so he got up on the altar. He started preaching. He said, John chapter 1. John chapter 5. And he don't open the Bible. And he just reading the Bible. The Bible just coming out of him. And you follow him in your Bible, he don't miss a word. He don't miss a word. They say he was born like that. He was born gifted with the word of God in him. But you can't go only want the word. You want the spirit of God. And you want the spirit because the Bible said that the letter or the word will kill you. But the spirit gives life. So you need the spirit to the word. Hallelujah.
Right.
You need the letter and you need the spirit. Hallelujah. One, you can't have one without the other. So I'm full of the word. You hear some folk tell you, I'm full of
Hallelujah.
The word. I'm full of the word. They tell you, I'm full of the word. But no spirit. I'm full of the word. How you know they ain't got no spirit? They got a spirit to live. But they don't got the spirit to carry God's word. I said, I'm full of the word. How you know? They don't have no compassion. No mercy. They're not willing to forgive nobody. Oh, I can't forgive him. He did this to me. She did this to me. I ain't going to forgive. And then you have someone will tell you, they're preachers. I forgive, but I'm going to forget. I'm not going to forget what they did to me. You can never forgive. The Bible says when God forgives us, he threw our sin into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. And he remembered the trouble. That's forgiveness. But you have trouble with that. I forgive them. I forgive her. I had a preacher come on this line. A preacher, I'm going to tell you, you know the preacher too. You know the preacher too. Because that same preacher come against you. I prophetess. Talk. And we had to check that preacher. We had to check that preacher. I'm going to forgive so-and-so. But I'm not going to forget what she said to me. I ain't going to forget what she did to me. I said, suppose Jesus do the same thing to you. What do you think will happen? Where do you think it would end up? Suppose you do the same thing to me. Not you. Let me put it on me. Suppose Jesus do the same thing to me. I don't forgive nobody. I don't want to forgive nobody. And suppose he said, well, son, I'm not going to forgive you. Because I know you was a womanizer.
Man,
I ain't going to forgive you because I know you smoke a lot of crack cocaine. I ain't going to forgive you because I know your mouth was just like a drunken sinner. Every other word that came out of your mouth was a cuss word. Suppose Jesus had said that to me.
Where would I be heading?
I would be heading straight to bust hell wide open. So because that he forgave me, I have to forgive everyone or anyone. Black, white, yellow.
Amen.
And I can't look at color silver. I can't forgive the white folk because they have put my four parishes in slavery 400 years ago. Well, what did we do to Jesus? Don't talk about the white folk. Don't talk about us. We put him on the cross. Our sins put him on the cross. Our sins.
Yes.
Put him on the cross. But the Bible says, he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. Our sinful lifestyle was called Jesus on the cross.
Hallelujah.
And what kept him on the cross is the love that I'm talking about. We are void of the love. He's not void of love. He is love.
Amen.
He is love.
Yes.
Love is what kept him on the cross. He could have come
Hallelujah.
Out from the cross at any time, but love kept him on the cross. That's how much he loved us. And we can't love somebody. We got these degrees and all these degrees, and we all that. And we can get so offended at people so quickly. So offended that we'll give up on people. Don't want a fellowship with them.
Yeah.
Don't want a partner with them in Christ. But we say we love the Lord. Don't let the devil take you don't let the devil take us to hell. I'm telling you now.
Yes.
Don't let the devil take us to hell by putting all of these deceptions in our minds and tell you that you don't have to love your brother or sister. Because the devil is telling some people that. Even as I speak, you don't have to love this body to go to hell, but I'm telling you something, to go to heaven, but I'm telling you something. You can't go to heaven with hate. You cannot go to heaven with hatred in your heart.
That's the truth. You
can't go. That's why we have to love. We have to release it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're talking about void of love. That was, I mean, there's so many times I said, Lord, search my heart. Show me what I need to see. I said, Lord, show me. Because a lot of times you don't know. And when God begins to show you stuff, don't say, well, no, Lord, that's not me. He said, no, Lord, that's not me. God going to show us every day. The more we say the word, the more God going to show us ourselves. We want to see everybody. My neighbor, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, my nephew, everybody we want to see. But we don't want to see ourselves. I want to see Jesus in this book of Matthew. In this book of Matthew. I'm going to give you a little bit. When you get a chance, study this whole chapter. Chapter 26. And you'll see the deception inside here. And you'll also see the love in this book. It is fully filled with love. Here in this book, Jesus was betrayed. In this book, Jesus experienced love, the love of the Father, the love of people, and the betrayal of people. See in this book. It's all in this book, chapter 26. He had a woman that was a prostitute that anointed him, his feet, his head, his toes, with a very expensive oil. She had an alabaster box with very expensive oil. And then he had a leper that he cleansed. He also had in the same chapter one of his disciples called Judas that betrayed him. But he still loved Judas. Do you know he alone? Let me tell you how much love Jesus had. Oh, my God, this is so powerful. I'm just going to go up. When I start to read from where I want to read from verse 36. But let me tell you how much love Jesus, the God that we serve, has. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows at the table, before we get to Gethsemane, he knows that Judas at the table, the Last Supper, in this same chapter, he knows that Judas is going to betray him. And he tells Judas, go ahead and do what you got to do quickly, because he knows this is what he come to do. He just know he come to save the world, to redeem his brothers and sisters, his lost brothers and sisters, back to the Father. I always say that the Father needed his family, his lost family. So he sent his only son as a seed in the earth, sowed in the earth, to harvest his family. So that is one of the most powerful examples of sowing and reaping. Because Jesus was sowed into the earth on the cross, his life. And he harvests, reap you and I, us, all who will repent and come to him for salvation. That's the most powerful story right there of harvesting. But he allowed Judas to go. He said, Judas, go and do what you got to do quickly. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, what's love? What's love in its greatest example of love? I'm talking about we are void of love. A lot of us as people of God are void of love. We say we love, and it sounds good. It sounds eloquent saying it. It almost sounds or tastes like honey. But we're not putting action behind love. I thank God for these few here on Blog Talk with it, that showing the love of Christ. Where we're reaching out to help people that we have, some that we have met and some we have never met. We are not only saying we love them, but we're showing them with the finances, helping them to put food on the table for their kids and for other people. That's the love of Christ.
Jesus.
That's the same
love.
Amen. How can you tell somebody who loves them and see them hungry, their belly sticking to their back, and you got all that they need? You got clean water.
Yes.
You got juice. You got lemonade. You got sugar. You got lemon.
Yes.
And you got peanut
yes.
butter and jelly. You got lunch and meat in your fridge. You wouldn't even pack up some sandwich to take down to them. But you love them.
Yes.
You tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said they need more than just hearing about me. They need some food, some natural food in their belly. So they can stand
Amen.
On their feet. And then they can talk about me. They need to get straight in their own feet so they can talk about me. My God, my God. Here in this book, in the Garden of Gethsemane, let me tell you, prophetess, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus already knew at the last supper that Judas was going to betray him. He told him, go and do it. Do what you got to do quickly. Now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus already had prayed. And the Bible said that he was sorrowful. Now let's start at verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them, his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, this is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. It says, and he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He's going a little further. Couple of yards, couple of feet away from them. Because this is a very powerful time. This is a very powerful and sorrowful time for Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to be abused physically.
Yes.
He's going to be physically abused.
Mm-hmm.
And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He began to have downhearted, depressed time. Because in the flesh, you know, like you see a man said, well, he got a lot of things. And even just going to prison, said, well, you're going to get 25 years. They'd be all this and all that. They're all honcho or muncho or whatever it is. But soon that judge said, well, he sentenced you to 25 years. That's all like death sentence. You'll see their countenance drop. Well, this is what happened with his countenance. Everything dropped. Because he know what he's close to. Then said he unto them, Jesus talking, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. John chapter 12, verse 27. And even John chapter 4, verse 21. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 35. In John chapter 18, verse 1. All these scriptures you can look up. And it says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. John chapter 5, verse 30. Now. Here, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Something here, as I was looking at this, he got John, Peter, and James with him. And we know that at the table, John is the one he loved. He put his made his head on the breast of Jesus. But Jesus come and charged Peter right here. Why is this he charging Peter? Because he knows that Peter's going to be the one that's going to be the boldest of all of them to speak the gospel.
Amen.
Peter was always ready to speak first. So he come and he spoke to Peter. He then said, John, why didn't you tarry with me for 1 hour? Then why didn't you tarry with the two sons of Zebedee? He said, Peter, why can you just stay away with me for 1 hour? Can you just stay away? Peter, because why? Peter's the one that's going to carry the gospel. He's the one that's going to do miracles. He's going to use him to do miracles.
Amen.
Because Peter has the boldness in him. And he says, verse 41, he said, what in prayer that you enter not into temptation? He said, his prayer indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, normally they're saying to Jesus, oh, Jesus, we will watch with you. That's the spirit. The spirit is telling Jesus earlier, oh, yes, Jesus. I could hear him saying, oh, yes, Rabbi, we'll watch with you. Sure enough, you can go on. Go on and do what you got to do. They don't know exactly what Jesus saw. He told him he's going to pray, but they don't know exactly. He said, look, watch while I go over here and pray. He said, and they said, you can hear them in the spirit. Yes, yes, Rabbi, we go watch for you. You can go even count on us. We go. But the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So no sooner he goes up and goes to the front of prayer, they fall into sleep. The devil make their eyes become heavy because he know that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. If they're praying with Jesus, the power going to come down. They have to go to sleep. You understand? They have to go to sleep. Because what must be done must be done. So, and he went away again the second time. And prayed, saying, oh, my father, if it is possible, may not, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, then that will be done. Hear what Jesus is saying. If this is the only way that I can accomplish what you sent me to do, if this is the only way that I got to give up my life, you hear what Jesus is saying. If this is the only way that I can accomplish what you sent me to do, Father, that will be done. Let it happen. Let it happen.
Hallelujah.
Verse 43, he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. I tell you, the devil going to make your eyes heavy. You ever try to say, well,
yes.
I'm going to wait tonight and I'm going to read 4 or 5 chapters. No, the moment you can say I'm going to read 4 or 5 chapters, and then it happens. But the moment you open that Bible, it starts turning the pages. Your eyes become heavy.
Yes.
You weren't tired before, but your eyes become tired. But you know when you begin to press on and say, look, I'm going to read, I'm going to study anyway, that the heaviness goes away. The heaviness goes away.
Yes, yes.
But have you ever given to the heaviness? Because the devil don't want you to say this word. He knows that your power, he knows that your deliverance, your restoration, your healing, your prosperity, all is in this word. It's all is in this word. And when I talk about prosperity, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity.
Yeah,
it's in this word. It's in this word. Because when people talk about, well, God wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as it's so prosperous. You know, people are the only thing they focus on is money. But when you begin to, the more word you get, the more power you get. You're prospering. The
Hallelujah.
More power you get. You're prosperous.
Yes.
In 2 Chronicles, I think it's 18. 18 and 18 and 7. Let me see. 18. Let me see if it's there. Here in the scripture here, I hear. Oh my God! I got. Let me just finish that. And I go back here and play this scripture. I just hear that scripture. Here in Matthew. Let's go finish this here. He says he find them sleeping. The eyes were heavy. Verse 44 says, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Talk to the Father, if his Father take this cup. If he can't do this thing without he's taking the cup, he says, let it be done. Here he says, then cometh he to the disciples and said to them, sleep on. Can you hear him? Jesus now has reached to a place now where his spirit and soul is lined up. They're all in alignment with God, with the Father. The spirit, the soul, and the body is all in alignment. He is willing now, completely willing. Nothing can stop him.
Yes,
nothing can hinder him. He is completely willing because he has the love of Christ, of God inside his heart now to go to the cross for you and I. For whole hour he said, Lord, I am sorry. I've been living my life in sin, and I'm sorry, Lord. I repent of my sin. He is going to the cross for all who would come there to that place.
Yes.
And he told them to sleep on. Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
Verse 36 says,
arise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. Judas.
Yes, Lord.
When you get down in this text, the soldiers come. But I want you to see the love right here in this verse. I didn't want to go here, but the Lord says go here. Verse 48, this is the love that showed here. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I kiss, I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. This is the sign. But the Bible says that Judas came to Jesus in the same text. And he kissed Jesus. When he kissed Jesus, the soldiers come, lay hands on him. But the power that was in Jesus, they fell backward. The power that was on Jesus. Because the spirit, the soul, and the body is in alignment with God, with the Father. And when your spirit and your soul and your body become in alignment, no man can touch you. You hear me?
No man can touch you.
When your spirit, your soul, and your body come in alignment with God, the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Keeper, nobody can touch you. Nobody can touch you. That's why we have to spend more time with him. And when Judas kissed Jesus, Jesus could have struck him dead right there.
Yes,
but Jesus knew all this had to happen. All this had to happen in order for you and I to be saved. For all of us to have the right to the tree of life. He had to die. He had to give up this earthly tabernacle so he can put back on the heavenly tabernacle. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He had to give up this earthly tabernacle. Just like you and I, we have to give up this earthly tabernacle. We can't keep it because it can't go where he is. We have to put on a new body. He said that he would give us a new body, a new role.
Lord.
You understand?
Yes.
So we have to give this up. What we are working on right while we are here is strengthening the body, strengthening the spirit, not the body. The verse that we're looking for is in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 18. You know. Can we think about when we think about finances and stuff like that? Because God given us power to get wealth. And that's what we are saying. We said, well, he says, remember thou, but thou shalt remember the, Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face. So shall you perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. See, the Lord has given us power to get wealth. And a lot of times, the only wealth we are focusing on is gold and silver and diamonds and so on, sapphires and all that stuff. But God has given us that power, that wealth that's inside of us that no man, that's why he says, store up your treasures in heaven that neither moth nor thief can destroy. This is the kind of wealth that he's given to us. We want to have this wealth that no man can take from us, that we don't have to worry about a security guard. We don't have to worry about an alarm system, all of this stuff. When you get your car, you want an alarm system. When you get your house, alarm system. You can't sleep until the alarm, you make sure the alarm is on. You understand? Glory to God. And if you forget the alarm and come to the house, the police shows up. Because most of their stuff is tied into the station. And then you're looking funny because they want to arrest you, want to know who you are. You have to have some ID and have keys to make sure that's your house or that's your car. But God is giving you something that you don't have to prove to nobody because he knows what you have. You don't have to prove to anybody. You hear what I'm saying?
Jesus.
He knows who you are. And what he gives to you, it makes you rich. That's why the Bible said the blessings of the Lord make it rich and it add no sorrows to it. You don't have to worry. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can steal it. That's why God is saying, look, the world is void of love. It's void of love. But I give it to you so you can give it to them. You hear what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
The world
Hallelujah.
Is void of love. But you and I, we, the people of God, have this love inside of us that only comes from God. It don't come from the dealership. It don't come from the bank. It don't come from the type of job you have or the degree you have. It comes from God. It comes from the favor of God, unmerited favor. Hallelujah. The love of God is unmerited. You can't do anything to gain it. You can't do anything. It's freely given to us. Hallelujah.
Yes,
the Bible says, freely you have received, freely you must give. We can't pick and choose who we want to give the love of God to. God don't pick and choose. He don't pick and choose. You know, the man at the the side of the street and the Good Samaritan, and the Good Samaritan, when he come by and find the man on the street who was an Israelite, he wouldn't even say. You understand? He wouldn't even say. But who come and took care of him? The Samaritan is a representation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is saying that how the Samaritan would take care of a Jewish man. Samaritans are half Jews. They're not full Jews. They're half Jews. But he would take care of the priests passed by, the Levite passed by. The worshippers, the people of the synagogue, the people of the church building, the pastor, the priest, they passed by and went on other side. Looked at him and went on. But the good Samaritan, the half Jew, wouldn't even say. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't part of the Jewish sect. He was a half Jew. And he came by and saw this man that was wounded and bruised, bleeding on the side of the street. And remember, the priest passed by and went on the other side. The priest was supposed to take him up, burn him, and put some oil and wine on him, because wine is also used for healing. If you don't betray it sometime, if you get a scratch, put some wine on it. Don't drink it all and get drunk. Put some wine on it and see how fast that cut would heal. But he was supposed to burn that man with oil and wine, because that's what they used in Jerusalem and in Israel. They used oil and wine. They didn't have all this medicinal ointments that we have. So they used oil and wine. And they use vinegar. So this man took this man up from the side of the street, bound him up, put him on his ass, on his donkey, and took him to an inn and paid for his cleansing. You know, for the people at the inn to take care of him. Make sure that he had clean clothes. Make sure he had food to eat. Make sure he had somewhere to sleep. And make sure that his wounds were taken care of. He said, I had some money. And if you use more than I had to give you now, when I come back, I will pay you all that you use for him. That's the love of Christ. That gets the master showing the picture of Christ. We're looking for certain people. We're looking for certain people to bless. We're looking for certain people to take care of. Jesus did not pick and choose. If he was, I would not be saved. If he was, probably you wouldn't be saved either. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody up there in computer land. Jesus did not pick and choose. He come and he healed the lame. He saved the rich. He saved the poor. He doesn't care. All you got to do is call on him. If you call on him in repentance, he will forgive you. He will give you access to the tree of life. And guess who is the tree of life? Jesus is the tree of life. He'll give you access to the fountain of life. Who is the fountain of life? Jesus is the fountain of life. He is called the living water. He is called the living water in the Bible. Hallelujah. And the Bible, when you drink of Jesus, you never get thirsty. When you eat of him, he called the bread of life. You say you'll never be hungry. Hallelujah. He don't pick and choose who he wants to feed. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is repent, turn from your wicked ways, and come to him and tell him you're sorry. And not only sorry, start to show him that you're sorry. Because it said you can say anything with your mouth. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. So don't think that because you say you're sorry that you can get over with Jesus. He's looking at your heart. Glory to God. So a lot of people say they're sorry, but they're still doing the same nasty thing. You understand? You're not tricking Jesus. You're just messing with your own soul. You're messing with your own soul's salvation when you're claiming that you're sorry and still doing the same things. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you and praise you for this word that you've given us today.
Yes,
Lord.
God,
I'm just so blessed for this word. You blessed me today, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You blessed
Hallelujah.
Me today. I didn't know what I was going to teach today, but Lord, you just gave me what I needed. I don't know about nobody else, but I needed this, Lord. And Father, you give this to me to show me that I have to be even more loving than I am. And Lord, I ask you to continue to strengthen me in this area of my life. Give me more compassion. Give me more mercy. Give me more grace, Lord Jesus, that I would manifest who you are, Lord God. That when people see, they would say, they wouldn't talk about me, but they would say, I'm sure he's been with Jesus. He's been spending time. That man been spending time with Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless me to hear clearly, oh God, all that you want me to hear. Father, because sometimes I don't hear. So God, I'm just being honest, Lord. I just want you to bless me to hear much clearer. And I know that you're speaking to us, Lord. Father, I just pray that there's somebody out there today that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you call upon him, he would answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things, things that you have no knowledge of. You may be going through some sickness in your body, and you're coming up against Jesus saying, well, why am I dealing with this sickness? Why am I dealing with, you may be even lack in finances. You say, why I can't pay my bills? Why I can't get this? Why I can't get that? But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. Don't think about the natural things, because we get so caught up in, I don't have a car, I don't have a house, I don't have this, and I don't have a dress, I don't have a pants. And we're looking at natural things. But God said, look, if you just seek me first, son, daughter, if you just seek me first, he said, all these other things I would give to you. I would add to your life. I would add to your needs. I know your needs before you even ask me. But first, you got to get your heart right with me. If you don't know me, that's what Jesus is saying. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says all you got to do is confess him. Let him tell. He knows everything. He knows who know him. He knows who have a relationship with him. He knows who is playing games. Just tell him. And one thing you want to let him know, tell him, say, Lord, David said in Psalm 51, he said, I acknowledge my sin before God. He said, my sin is ever before me. That's what David said in Psalm 51. So you got to come before God and come clean. Come, break clean up before him and say, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me truly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins are ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Jesus, he began to talk to Jesus. This is repentance. This is after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, after he had sent Uriah, her husband, to the forefront in the battle so he can lose his life, so he can have Bathsheba for himself, even though he already had wives. He wanted Bathsheba. And see, this is what the sin would do. Sin will want you to take what's not yours. Sin will make you go after what's not yours. You understand? Even though you have a husband, he'll make you go after somebody's husband. Even though you got a wife, he'll make you go after somebody's wife. That's what sin will do. Sin is a spirit, and that spirit is guided by Satan. You understand what I'm saying? Sin is a spirit. Just like holiness is a spirit. Holiness is led by the Holy Ghost or by Jesus. Holiness. Sin is a spirit. Holiness is a spirit. Hallelujah. You got to get it. You don't get this thing by just walking around. You got to get this stuff by revelation. By revelation. Jesus got to reveal himself to you. Then he told Peter, and Peter said, told him that he was the Messiah. He told him, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Some stuff has to be revealed to you. That's why we got to spend time so we can get some revelation. You'll get stuff from God that most people in preaching for 30, 40 years that have not gotten. Because why? They have not spent time, quality time with him. They're just getting the word and study the word. So I got to study a sermon for tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
I got a sermon for next week. That's what they do. They study a sermon for this week and that, because they're trying to impress the people that they're talking to. But you don't want to impress. You want to get close to him. That's why I don't follow the crowd. I follow the cloud. You understand? Don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud. The cloud represents his presence, his glory. People want the crowd. They want to have the crowd. If I can preach to 15,000, man, I preach with so many people in Africa. You understand? But that's not the problem. The thing is that Jesus is who I'm ministering to. first of
all.
And if you don't meet, it's in the book of Exodus. But Jesus told Moses, he said, get your brother Aaron and his sons. He said, and make them the garments of praise to worship. He said, let them come and worship before me first. Minister to me first. So you're ministering to God first. You're ministering to God first. Your ministry is to God first. That's why we got to live holy. We got to live holy. David says to him, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. This is all about repentance. And I shall be whiter than snow. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. See, remember, we start talking about in Jeremiah, but that deceitful heart and the wickedness of the heart, the deceitfulness of the heart. And here David says, see, the heart has to be fixed. We want to serve God with the same messed up heart. We can't serve God with the same messed up heart. We have a lot of deception and trickery in our hearts. We're doing something to get something. That's what we're doing. People are preaching to get money. People are preaching to get big homes and big cars and all this stuff. They're not preaching to win souls. Souls are lost and go to hell. Why we are pacifying people. Not us per se, but preachers are pacifying people. They're pacifying the congregation. They're using elaborate words and using the Hebrew and the Greek and all this stuff. And that's all well and good. But what about talking about holiness and telling people about sin? Sin will lead to hell. Sin does not lead you to heaven. If you continue sin, you're going to hell. And stop gossiping. Stop gossiping. Gossiping is sin.
Jesus.
The Bible says it's called, in the Bible, gossiping is called tale-bearing. And the Bible says he despised the tale-bearer. That means he don't care for it. And if God don't care for it, why do we go keep on in it? So we have to stop. We have to stop. I used to love to gossip. Oh, my Lord, I was the chief of the gossipers. I said, how am I going to stop this stuff, Lord? You know, when the Lord told me, he said, stop talking to everybody. Everybody calls for gossiping, you stop. And there was people would call me and they would say, oh, Pastor, let me tell you this, let me tell you this, let me tell you. I said, no work. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And there's some people when they call, I know they're going to gossip. I don't answer the phone. Because I know they're going to gossip. So then I started getting strong in that area, not gossiping. And God said, he said, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, and we knew a right spirit within me. See, we need a right spirit. Okay. We need a right spirit. Give me a minute. Somebody's coming here to deliver something to a package. We need a right spirit. We can't do it with the same heart. God has to give us a clean heart, and we need the right spirit. If we continue to do what we're doing for God with the same heart and same spirit, it's not going to happen. Because we're doing it in a way to get things from people. We're getting to get stuff, earthly stuff. But if you're doing this stuff the right way, you'll get what you need, heavenly stuff. Heavenly stuff is what I'm doing, seeking. More knowledge of who God is and what he wants done in me and through me. This is what God wants. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we already run the scripture for salvation stuff here. But if you don't know him, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. You can go on all the way down to chapter 4, to verse 14 or something like that down there. But I just, those three, I'd get lodged, the Lord had lodged them in my heart. I don't even have to look in the book for them. They're already in my heart. You know, so the Bible said that, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee. So you got to, we have to go over the word day and night till we get it in our heart so we can really, really rehearse the word of God, because the time is coming. I'm still doing salvation. The time is coming when we're not going to have an opportunity to turn the pages. You hear what I tell you? You're not going to have an opportunity to turn the pages. Matter of fact, they're going to tell you you can't carry the Bible. It's happening in some countries right now. There's places like China and Japan and Afghanistan, Pakistan, that you can't have a Bible. Some areas you can't have a Bible. And if you're caught with a Bible, you'll either lose your hand, your legs, your neck, your head, or you'll be put in jail. So it's a privilege to have a Bible that we can walk around with. We can have more than one Bible. You know, I'll say I got about six Bibles here. I got all kinds. Plus, I got some on the computer. But you need to study the Word of God, because the time coming when they're going to tell you that they're going to stop you from the time coming where they're going to block it out on the computer. You can't download them on the computer. And what you have, they're going to erase. Because we got free Bibles on the computer. They're going to take that thing from you, because the enemy is showing up himself. He is showing up, and he is exposing everything that he can right now, because he know his time is late. That's why we got to stay on God and on board with Christ Jesus to do the things that he commanded us to do. Now, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in Romans chapter 3 and 23. Romans chapter 6 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if you continue to sin, you will die. And this is not just talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. You understand? We know that we're going to die a physical death. All of us will die a physical death. But we don't want to die a spiritual death. You know? You see, your soul is not going to die, but you can die a spiritual death where you don't have a connection with God. Because the lifestyle that you live, or the lifestyle you're living. So we want our soul to come alive. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I need the right spirit. We need the right spirit to live for God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and 8, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was sinning, living my lifestyle of sin, God was had planned in his divine mindset that he would set in motion Christ, even though Christ, he died before I was here. But I was already in God's mind. You was in God's mind. All of us was in God's mind. The Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. All of us were
Amen.
In his mind that he knew that we would come in this world. We would be born in sin because our foreparents, Adam and Eve, had sinned in the Garden of Eden. We have that same DNA in us, that sinful DNA. But in order for us to correct that DNA, is that we had to repent, and we had to give our life, our heart, mind, body, and soul over to Christ Jesus. And it's not just saying, I'm saved or I want to be saved. It's living a saved life. Because, you know, the pastor say, take my hand and you'll be saved. You can take a pastor's hand and still go to hell. You hear what I'm saying? You can take a pastor's hand and still go to hell. Go to hell from the church building. If you don't live an obedient life to God, hallelujah, that means submitted and committed. You have to live an obedient life to God in order to go to heaven. We can't read the Bible, study the Bible, preach the Bible, teach the Bible, and then live like the world and think we're going to heaven. No. That's why Romans chapter 12, this is another verse here that over here, I read this out of the Bible. I know it in my heart, but I'll read it here. And Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. See, once we are transformed, you know, we begin to live where he says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yield yourself. Give yourself completely over to Christ. If you're gonna repent and decide you want to live for God, you got to give it all. You can't give him 99.5. You got to give him the whole 100. God wants the whole 100. If I told my wife, I said, "Well, honey, you know, I just love you this way, but that's it." She said, "No, I don't want you to love me this way. I want you to love me all the way, not just this way."
That's right.
And she's a human woman. She's a human being. She can't put me in heaven. She can send me to heaven. She can't put me in heaven. You know what I'm saying? But she wants me to love her all the way. But then I only want to love God 99.5. So, well, I'll give you 99.5, but this half I got to, because I want to still do my own thing. Well, guess what? That only thing you want to do will take you to hell. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also said that God sent his Son into this world not to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
See, I got all this scripture program in my heart. Because this is what keeps me walking.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Evil.
You got to understand this. When you see the world going the way they're going, it's because they love darkness. Darkness entices them. The light is what entices us, because we know in the light we are free. For us Christians, Jesus is the light of this world. We know that when we are in him, we have the light of the world. We are free. We may not have all the money in the bank that we would like to have in the bank. We may not have a big enough house as we would like. We may not have the car that we want to drive, but we have Jesus. And having Jesus is more than enough. I used to tell you I had to have all the stuff to be great. And I realized that once I fall in love with Jesus, because he loved me first. He loved me when I didn't love myself. But once I fall in love with him, man, I realized I had more than enough. And even as I'm getting older, God is enlightening me, because I'm his child. I'm his son. He's doing the same thing for all of you. You're his sons and daughters. God is enlightening us. He's giving us understanding that no man can give us. He has given us the clarity of his mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? He has given us the clarity of his mind so we can understand who he is better than most people do. Because why? We are seeking him. If you don't know him, the Bible says in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lose the salvation. From the beginning of salvation, God is blessing us. Do you see that? From the beginning of your salvation, the entrance to your salvation, God started blessing us. He said, if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He started giving you, letting you know it's going to be good. Oh, my God. I'll tell you something. You're going to get that tomorrow. You'll get it tomorrow. God blesses us from the beginning of our salvation. He gives you the gift of salvation, then he gives you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can't ask for more than that. In the book of Mark, Jesus talked to the disciples, and he gave them an assignment. And he told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is all that we got to do. We should be doing. But in order for this that Jesus is talking about to manifest in us, this is power. He's talking about power and authority. In the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, Jesus gives them power. The Bible says he gives them power and authority. So, but in order for the power and authority to work through us, We have to be submitted and committed completely to him. In
Jesus.
Other words, it may look good to us on the outside, but it's not good for us on the inside. Do you hear what I'm saying? It
Amen.
May look good to us on the outside. Now that girl going down the street, she looked real good. She looked real good. But on the inside, it's not good for me, for my heart, for my spiritual walk. That's what I'm talking
Amen.
About. It's not good for me, for my spiritual walk. So I have to rebuke it. I got to say, no, not today. Devil showed me, said she's a young woman too. 18 years old, 19 years, 20 years, 25 years old. Look real good. Skin is clean, nice hair, fresh, smell good. And God says, she looks good, she smells good, but she's not good for your soul. He looked good. He looked at his abdominal muscles. Look at his biceps, his triceps. So he got a nice haircut. He dressed good, drives a nice car. But he looks good on the outside. They're not good for you on the inside. He's not good for your soul. He's not good for your walk. You see what I'm trying to
Hallelujah.
Say?
Hallelujah.
Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus comes that we would have life and have it more abundantly. In order to exhibit
Hallelujah.
The abundant life, we got to walk. We got to walk for Christ and walk with Christ.
Praise God.
How do you walk with Christ, Apostle? I'm glad you asked that question. You walk with Christ when we walk according to his word. We walk in with him. And we walk in with him. And for
Hallelujah.
Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I give you some scriptures. You don't need a whole lot of scriptures. You heard what the scriptures say. You just got to repent. Repent means turning from your lifestyle, from what you've been doing that was contrary to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you was walking perfect, if you was living perfect, you wouldn't have to repent. In other words, as I said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, you and I, all of us.
Amen.
So, because we have been walking contrary to God's word, we now want to get back in line with his word. So to get back in line with his word, we have to repent from where we are to get to where we need to be. You understand? We have to, repent from where we are to get to where we need to be. So we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, according to 1 John 1:9. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you want to pray with me, say, Father, Lord God Almighty, I come to you a sinner. I acknowledge my sin today, and my sin is ever before me. Lord, I have sinned against you and you alone. And you have the right, Lord Jesus, to judge me however you choose to. But today I've heard the scriptures, and I believe what the scriptures say, that Jesus was crucified at Calvary, that he died there on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull. Yes, he was pierced and he was nailed. He was crowned with thorns for my sins, a righteous for the unrighteous, a holy man for a sinner man like me, or a sinner woman, whatever gender you are. Talk to him. He can hear you. So, but Lord, today I have decided I no longer want to live the way I've been living. So today I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents. And I come to you just as I am, broken and sinful. And I've decided to ask you to have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, wash me in your blood. Cleanse me today. As in the book of Jeremiah says, save me and I'll be saved. Heal me and I'll be healed. Because you are the God that we serve. Jesus, I want to serve you from today. And I want to live for you. So I'm asking you to welcome me into your family of believers, that I might have the right to the tree of life. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, for saving me. My heart is open. Come and take up your rightful place in my heart. Lead me and guide me to all truth. And I will live for you. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
If you said that prayer, telemarketers are going off, my phone going off. If you said that prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, it's more than that. You know, a lot of folk will tell you where you're saved, but I say that it's more than that, just saying the prayer of salvation. Now, you need to get a Bible. You need to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of Acts. Or you can go from Genesis and come on down to Revelation. But that's what he told me back in 2010. Just tell the people to start there because it's easy reading. Easy studying. Studying just means the Bible don't talk too much. Don't talk about reading. The Bible talks about studying. And said to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. So you want to study the word of God. Studying means to go over and over and over. So the word will, you will become part of the word will become part of you. Hide the word in your heart. You want to get a Bible and study. Start studying the Bible, however the Holy Spirit leads you. Let me say it that way. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. And the Bible has opened the scripture from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. It's opened that scripture right there in Acts 2 and 38. Because a lot of people they are fussed with each other. The devil is so smart. I mean, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, they said he is subtle. That means he's smart. He's cunning. And he's so smart that he uses this scripture here in Matthew. Let me read it to you so you know what I'm saying. Let me just read it to you because the devil uses against the church. He don't speak it out to them, but he put it in their mind to bring confusion. And he says, then Jesus said, let's do 18 and 19. Let's do 18 and 19 and 20. He says, go ye therefore. Let's just do 19. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they'll bring confusion in the house of the Lord. But Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why should I baptize in the name of Jesus? Well, the apostles in the book of Acts had the revelation. They got the revelation that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. They are Jesus. And you want to be baptized that way, according to the instruction Jesus had given them. But either way, get yourself, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want everybody to see, to be part of this great occasion that you have, this great occasion that's taking place. And then after you get baptized, you come out that watery grave, just begin to glorify God. And find your church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. You say, but I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to be involved in ministry. When I started out in ministry, I was cleaning the bathroom because my trade is plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. I started out cleaning the bathrooms, picking up stuff out the parking lot, you know, balls and stuff, you know, because people pass by drinking the beer, they drop the beer can or the balls in the parking lot because they don't care about the church grounds or nothing like that. And I did that, and I vacuumed the sanctuary, set up the pews and stuff, you know. That's ministry. All that's ministry. If nobody don't do that, what happened? The church would become, church building would become so full with dirt, you wouldn't be able to get in there. Pick up the taffy papers off the, and candy paper off the floor, because people just drop, eat the candy, chewing gum, and drop it on the floor. Some stick it on the chairs, the pews. And you clean all that stuff. All that's ministry. And then, just continue walking for Christ, okay? Just continue walking for Christ. We love you all. The line is open. Anyone want to respond, you can. If you don't want to, we still thank God for your presence. And we thank God for you all. The line is open for anyone that want to come on in and respond. Oh, Father, thank you. Well, nobody responded. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you all today. Thank God for you all. And, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us today. Lord, we thank you for those that heard it. And, Lord, we ask that you continue to heal, deliver, and restore all those that are sick in the body. We pray we come against cancer. We come against lupus. We come against gout, O God, leukemia. All forms of cancer, God, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying for those that are suffering with AIDS And Lord God, especially those that are suffering with breast cancer and lung cancer, seems like that cancer is taking over the world right now. Lord, we come against it right now in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask for healing right now to manifest right now. Praying for my brothers and sisters in India and Africa that is suffering right now from this COVID virus. God, we ask you to heal, deliver, and restore right now. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God. We pray, Father, for those that are looking for shelter. There are so many people homeless now. Oh, God, so many people don't have anything to eat. Some people are starving. Lord, we ask you to provide food for the hunger, Lord, and shelter for the homeless. Lord God, we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you make a way that we get more blessings will come in, more funds will come in so that we can give more, and Father, so we can do more for the kingdom. Lord Jesus, we ask that you give me some more work, that you help me to get some more jobs, Lord, that can go in the field and make some funds to help, Lord. God, we just thank you. Oh, Father, we pray for favor for Apostle Washington as they go out today and they're out. And I pray for Sister Anna. Lord, we pray that you continue to heal her and strengthen her, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you keep her safe and secure, Lord God. We know, God, that you are mighty God and that you are awesome God and you can do all but fail. Oh, Father, we just bless you and we praise you, God. Lord, we ask you now that even for Sister Anna, Lord, that you make a way for her, Lord. I know that you promised you would do it, and I believe you'll do it, God, because you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. You said it, I believe it, and that settles it, Lord God. I'm not going to let the devil come on in and bring no doubt, because you don't work with doubt. You only work with faith. So, Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now in advance for blessing this woman, God. Oh, mighty God. Pray, God, for Prophetess Millie's sister, Lord. Lord, I come against that cancer right now. And, Father, I take that cancer and I send it back to the pit of hell where it came from. So, oh, Lord, I know it didn't come from you, because this woman loved the Lord. She loved you, Father. And I know it's your desire to see her heal and restored, oh, God. Lord, the surgery went well, but Lord, we declare that that's the roots of that cancer is drying up right now. We declare it drying up right now in the name of Jesus. The roots, dried up from the roots, Lord, that it will not come back, Lord. Lord, every morsel of it, Lord God, every cell of it, let it dry up right now. Dry it right up now, Lord, and let it die. Lord, I pray for Prophetess Misha, Lord, for her lung cancer right now, in the name of Jesus, to dry up and die, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Pray for Mother Grant's son, Lord, for the surgery that he's taking. Oh, God, we ask, God, that everything goes well, and for speed recovery, Lord, for everyone that is suffering with some form of sickness. We come against it right now because, God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth. And Lord, we thank you. Pray for Apostle Linda Washington's sons and her daughter and all that they're going through health-wise. Lord God, that you continue to, God, oh God, make the devil be a liar. God and God be true. You said, let God arise and the enemy be scattered. Lord, we thank you. Arise right now. Rise now in this situation, every situation that we call out today, Lord. We want you to arise, arise, arise and have your way, Jehovah. Arise and have your way, Jehovah Nisi. Arise and have your way, Jehovah El Shaddai. Arise and have your way, Jehovah Rapha. Arise and have your way, Jehovah Shabbat. Oh, God, arise and have your way, Lord El Shaddai. Arise, oh, God, arise, 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 arise and have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Come on in and read, Mother Grant, before we go off. You can read before we go off.
Praise the Lord. Good morning or good afternoon to everybody. You know, I'm here doing my babysitting job, so that's where I'm at. But thank God for all the praises. My son, he had his surgery yesterday. The only thing he said, he was in a lot of pain. I tell him day by day, it will be healed. He'll get better. thing went good. So thank God. My reading is say, loving God. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to the thousand generation of those who love him and keep his commandment. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. I love those who love me and those who seek me. Find me, Proverbs 8 and 17. Whoever has my commandment and obey them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. John 14 and 21. Bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasure full. Proverbs 8 and 21. Bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasure full. Proverbs 8 and 21. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Psalms 34 and 4. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Psalms 145 and 20. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Ephesians 6 and 24. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledged my name. Psalms 91 and 14. However, as it is written, eyes have seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. So if you faithfully obey the commandment I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your gain new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the field for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Deuteronomy 11, 13, and 15. And may God and his blessing to his word. Amen. God bless everybody on this line. Praise the Lord. Bless the word. Thank God for
Amen.
Blessing
thank,
me.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mother.
Yes.
Thank you for that reading. It was a good reading. Thank
yes.
you so much.
God
bless
you. Your wife is feeling okay?
Yes, yeah, she's doing. She's doing good. She's doing good.
Yeah.
Whatever it is she was dealing with, yeah, bug is gone. And we thank God for her, for your keep her Apostle Linda Washington in prayer. She's out looking for a partner for her sons. Keep her up in prayer. Keep her in your prayer. Now, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that made forth today. And we ask you, God, to bless all who heard it and all who would hear it. We ask, Father God, as we leave this line but not your presence, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray, O God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Praying, oh God, that even right now, that God, as we send up the praise for praying, for healing and restoration and delivering, that God is, it'll begin to manifest, that people will know that you are God, that you are Savior, that you are Redeemer, that we are not just saying stuff because we can say, but we are saying because we know the one that hears us, oh God. And we thank you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you for this day, for this hour, for this minute. Thank you, God, for the miracles that are taking place right now. Thank you for the miracles that are taking place right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you use, speak today in somebody's ear gate, that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That just means that the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus Christ must be seen in your life, in our lives, in what we say and in what we do, so that he will get the glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We love you, but Jesus loves you more. Have a blessed day and a safe day. We'll be back here tomorrow afternoon doing what thus says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Deacon Fred, you here? You got something you want to say?
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Deacon.
Go ahead, Deacon.
Praise the Lord. I just say thank God on the word. Thank God how the word was released. I thank God what I heard today. I go back and listen to that message, the scripture. That's how the word went forward. I just thank God that I'm able to come and hear the word. And it was an awesome word of God. The word went forward. I'm glad to hear the voice. Glad to hear everyone's voices today. I'm glad to hear why I'm doing better. We thank God that we have to pray for others. We have to pray for one another, good to each other. Keep on listening up, and keep on encouraging one another. That's all we have to do. We have to encourage one another, keep each other listening, not try to put each other down, not try to come down on somebody, put them down, because we so uppity. But that's not gonna give us a help. But we got to know we have to watch how we treat others, because we got to do it in love, talk to them in love them, and treat them out of the way they want to be treated, because we don't never know who might need our help. You don't never know who might help us. We don't ever know. Because the one you look down on, that's the one you might need one day. You might need that help one day. And that's the truth. You might need that help. That's the godless truth. We have to be careful who we look down on, who we mistreat. So you don't want to be treat the one, then the one you mistreat, you're going to want them one day. You don't want them to help. You're going to want them one day. You don't want them to need help. So that's why we have to be careful how we mistreat one another. That's why we're going to be accountable for that. That's why even though when we come to church line, when I come on this church line, I know sometimes I run late, but still I be on there. I come to hear the word of God, and I come to hear the word of God. I come to hear. One thing about it, I don't suck nobody, because I don't believe in trying to assault somebody. I don't believe in that. Ever since I've been coming on here, I've been coming on here ever since. And I hope I continue to come. And one thing about it, I come to hear the word of God. And this ministry goes out to help the souls. So would be saved, the souls out there. The only one we need to help. The soul, not try to think about you all yourself all the time. Because everything is, you know, everything belongs to Jesus. That's who belongs to. So I thank God I had opportunity to be on today. Even though someone might say, "Oh, what is I'm doing? Or what? Where is I'm coming? Well, no, well, number one, I come for God. I come for Jesus. I come for God. I go for Jesus. Number one, I don't go with nobody but the Lord. I go for Jesus. I know what I used to do. I don't do the thing like I used to anymore because I am somebody in Christ. I am somebody in Christ. I know what I used to do. I am somebody in Christ. The book of Exodus tells me that. So I can read the word of God. It's what word of God says. It ain't my word, nobody. It's what Exodus, book Exodus say. It ain't my word, nobody's word. That's what the word of God tells me. I am somebody in Christ. Yeah, I remember the time I thought I didn't get it all together. But at the same time, see, that's why the Bible said I had to examine myself. The book of James said, examine myself. I had to examine myself. Before I look down on somebody, I look down on my own self. That's what I do. If I look down on somebody. See, if we can't come, that's what I learned. That's why the Bible always says, when two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. And, you know, it's a field of shame. We don't come and encourage nobody. We don't want to help nobody. We don't want to encourage nobody. We don't want to help them do anything. We don't want to encourage nobody. We don't want to come. I always said the best. I always learned. I didn't know it then like I knew it now. That's why the word of God always says, "When two or three are gathered, God is in the midst." I'm not worried about a whole lot of calling, and I'm not worried about it. Only thing is what only God is pleased. Who said when two or three are gathered? Book of Matthew says God is in the midst. He is a myth. That's right. He in the midst. And I'm not worried about it like I used to anymore. And yes, tonight, I will be on tonight. The Lord would do the same. He would do the rest tonight. I will be on tonight. Everyone will come tonight. Lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to come and praise the Lord tonight. We're going to come and praise God. We're going to come and lift him up, give him a praise. We're going to come and praise him tonight. We're going to talk to Jesus, Dr. Jesus, tonight. Not about me, not about nobody. Focus on bragging on to the Lord, bragging to Jesus. And that number is for tonight is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. That's 308587#. That's 308587#. The time is at 8:00. Central time is 9:45 PM. That's every Friday and every Saturday night. Come if you'll trust, worship the Lord. We'll praise God on with the word of scripture or scripture, word of prayer, prayer request, or testimony, whatever on your heart. Let Jesus lead you all the way. So So each one of you tonight, if you don't have no place to go, come and lift up the name of Jesus, and you will be blessed on tonight. So God bless each one of you. God bless on the word. Keep me in your prayer. Keep me lifted up. Everyone, look all over the world, all over the United States, all over the world. We lift up around Southern California, North California, San Jose, California as well. We want to lift up everything that's happening all over, in Gadsden and Jerusalem and Moscow and Japan. We want to lift up in China. Look at everything that was happening all over the world. We want to lift up everyone, whatever family lost life, family lost a family, that lost loved one in that family. We want to lift them up. We want to keep everyone touch the soul, the body of Christ. We want to lift it up in the name of Jesus. So I thank you. I thank God. We thank God for you. Thank God what you do. So I want you to do for Christ. We're alive. And we will get your word someday. We look, Mother Graham, we look for you as well, Mother Graham. You come and read your scripture. You're always welcome to read your scripture every time you get a chance. Read a scripture. You're welcome anytime. You're welcome to come and read anytime,
praise
every Friday or every Saturday.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. You're welcome. Come and read. God bless you and your family. Everyone, listen to God bless you.
Deacon went out, so we prayed out already. So we'll see you all tomorrow afternoon if you have time. I think one of those, I think Evangelist Campbell is ministering tomorrow, I think. But we'll see you all tomorrow. God bless you all. Look forward to see you tonight. If I get a chance, I should be on the line with Deacon. But I got to go outside here and do something on my car right now. God bless you all. Have a safe evening. We know we love you all, but God love you more. Bye-bye.